You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf is Daf Lama Gimel Amud Beis. We're holding about one-fourth of the way up. Now, what we were bedayik so far from the Mishnah was that it's clear that had this meat been bloodied, would have been mekabel tuma from yadayim misoavot. The problem is the yadayim misoavot are a sheni, because that's the gezerah on stam yadayim. But a sheni has absolutely no impact on chulin. We're going to be talking about chulin, as we showed. The content of the Mishnah was referring to chayas, we're referring to chulin. So how is that possible? The answer that we gave is that, well, it would be possible if we're talking about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Now, if we're talking about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, then it's not normal chulin. It's chulin that somebody has, who's used to eating kodesh. He wants to make sure that everything in his home is treated the same way, with the same level of kedusha. That way, if there's any confusion of what something is, he made a mistake, everything is always going to be tahar. And that would be the case. So let's take a look at the, again, starting from Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Hoshaya, Yahacha v'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh askinan. What we're talking about here is not normal chulin. We're talking about chulin where the person accepted upon himself, a sibi that we'd spoken about earlier, and we're going to assume that that acceptance in your own mind of treating chulin with kedusha gives it dinim of kodesh, so that it will actually be affected by sheni betuma, which normally it would have been unaffected by. But it's the lo k'Rabbi Yoshua. Saying that would be force us to say that the Mishnah is not going on leave it to Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanya. Now here is where we get into the complexities of the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, which has nothing to do directly with chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh that much. However, in the course of this machloket, we're going to discover that Rabbi Yoshua does not believe that a person can reasonably accept upon himself something so mad as to pretend that chulin is al taras hakodesh. And in order for the Rabbanan to accept chumras on your own personal acceptance of the din, it has to be at least close to something practical. To say that chulin is kodesh is just too far off. And therefore, we'd say bat la da'atoi, tzorov b'nei adam. That's the way Rabbi Yoshua understands it. And before we begin the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, let us just recall for a moment that we have a tuma that is called tumat gvia. Tumat gvia means if somebody eats something that's tummy, that he actually apostles his body by eating, even if he never touched. And that achila is more chomor in certain ways than touching, as we're going to see. Now, lemaisa, there seem to be two completely different issues in the Rabbi Natan, actually is a machalik elsewhere, that in the Yud Ches Dover, generally we know that the dinim of eating come from the 18 different gzeras that were made, including things like Sefer Torah being Matami Yadayim, or in order to save Sefer Torah, Stam Yadayim, all of these dinim. And there was a din over there that was a person who eats a kibetza, according to Rabbi Natan, because Rabbi Natan was concerned with the fact that tumat gviya itself seems to have a makor d'oraita, mitmeitim ba, which means you become tame if you eat that. And therefore, he understands that the difference is that midoraita, the tuma, is a tuma that comes only when somebody eats a chatzi pras, which is a makor k'sushonov. It's two beirachin, it's two beitzim, it's two beitzim. And the Rabbanan would go through the Yud Ches Dover even if you eat a kibetza. Okay, whatever it is, these are protodidim. I just don't want you to suddenly come across one day that the tumat gviya being deraita, and here we're talking about as if it's the Rabbanan. What we're talking about is the tumat Rabbanan of achila, was included in the Yud Ches Dover. Whether that's the chalal, the concept of tumat gviya, or different shir of tumat gviya, that's really not our sugya. But in any event, the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua revolves around the question of what is the status of the individual who eats something that's tummy. Now, up front, it's very counterintuitive, and it's not kedai for us to worry right away. By the time we finish the daf, And tomorrow's daf, we're going to have a very good grasp of this subject. So if things seem at this point a little bit esoteric, up in the air, unclear, they will resolve as we go on. So I'm trying to understand everything at one time. But here's the machlokas, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ha'ochel ochel rishon rishon. Somebody who eats something which is tameh as a rishon v'tuma, he himself, his body is treated as if it's a rishon, and if he touches things that make the masheni, and anything that he's osur to eat, and he's tameh, he's osur to eat. If he ate ochel, which is a sheni, he becomes a sheni. If he eats ochel, that is a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. Now, this is sort of counterintuitive, because normally tuma is, by definition, always one step lower. So there's always an attenuation of tuma as you go from one level to the other. The Gemara later will question, where the heck does Rabbi Eliezer come off with saying that tuma gmiya is different than a standard transference of tuma, and that for some reason he gets the same din as what he ate. But right now, let's accept it on faith. Rabbi Yeshua Omer. Now Rabbi Yeshua says something that is really strange, because he does not seem to say something consistent. He starts off by saying, well, no, if you eat ochel rishon, then you'd be a sheni. Okay, that's fine. The problem is that he adds ochel rishon and a sheni, you'd be a sheni. Now, that seems to be halfway like one, halfway like the other. If you ate a rishon, I understand you become a sheni. That's standard. But then why, if you ate a sheni, would you become a sheni? Then it gets even worse, because it says if you eat a shlishi, you also become a sheni, but that's only l'kodesh. You would be a sheni for kodesh, but you would not be a sheni for truma. So as far as truma is concerned, you're a shlishi, let's say. Maybe. We're going to discuss that later. Does ain't sheni l'truma? You're not a sheni, but you are a shlishi? If you are a shlishi, you're not allowed to eat truma, but you can't do anything to the truma. Or does it just mean ain't sheni l'truma? No, I'm only talking about kodesh truma, you're nothing. That's a machlokas later on. Now, what type of ochel are we saying that you ate rishon sheni shlishi? Because over there, the entire sugya in Taharot, speaking of which, did you learn your Mishnah? The entire sugya in Taharot is discussing chulin, and therefore we are concerned. We are concerned because there's no such thing as a shlishi b'chulin. So, why am I discussing ochel shlishi sheni? Because we're not talking about regular chulin. We're talking about chulin shenasu al tahara truma. Whoa. I'm used to the idea of chulin shenasu al tahara kodesh. But this is something new. Chulin shenasu al tahara truma. Apparently, because Rabbi Yoshua holds, there ain't no such animal as chulin shenasu al tahara kodesh. It's too cuckoo. Well, what is coming off saying something chulin is kodesh? There's so many steps between chulin and kodesh. Well, so we can accept that you're a kohen, you have truma in your house, and you want to make sure that your truma is treated properly, you don't mistake something for chulin. I just say, well, you know what? All my food is on the darga of truma. Okay? Not already the Rabbanim went along with David dinim chumras, that we'd be makabal tuma as if it's truma. Since truma can be makabal a psul from a sheni, and it becomes posel as a shlishi, for the dinim of achila, which is more chomer, eating that chulin, which is not zoratarish truma, which is a shlishi, makes you a sheni l'kodesh, which is weird. The Gemara is going to ask later on. That doesn't make any sense. Again, let's take that on faith, because what's important to us right now is only one thing. And that's the fact that Rabbi Yeshua says, of course, the only case I can come up with for chulin being a shlishi would be if chulin was nasal taras truma. What does he have to say that for? He says, chulin shnasal taras akedesh. Clearly, he doesn't know the chulin shnasal taras akedesh. Therefore, when we are forced to conclude that our Mishnah has got to be talking about chulin shnasal taras akedesh, it can't be like Rabbi Yeshua. Of course, well, what forced us to say that the Mishnah is talking about chulin shnasal taras akedesh? We could have said it's talking about chulin shnasal taras truma just as easily. And if our only problem is that chulin is not makabel a tuma from a sheni, so then we have any way out. We're not talking about regular chulin. Talking about chulin that was special. What's special? Could be al taras akedesh, like Rabbi Eliezer. Could be al taras truma, like Rabbi Yeshua. What forced you into saying it can't be like Rabbi Yeshua because it's got to be chulin shenasu al taras akedesh? It's ridiculous. Ask the Gemara. Understand? So then, okay, first, because Rabbi Chulin Shanaz Atar Zakarish doesn't actually, fine. Ask more of a lukma, but Chulin Shanaz Atar Zakarish. So then what forced you to say it was Atar Zakarish? Say it's talking about Atar Zakarish, and then it works out perfectly well, according to Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, it seems like first you set up, as a matter of course, It's got to be Taras HaKadosh. Now you got a problem. So I can't be like Rabbi Yeshua. Whoever said it has to be that. No, this is my, what are you talking about? How could it be Al Taras Truma? Tell me something. Is there meat that's Truma? We're talking about meat. You're saying that this meat is going to be Makabel Truma because it was Nasa. What do you mean? Meat Nasa Al Taras Truma? There's no such thing as Truma being meat. So therefore the whole concept is absurd. Losaka Daita says more, you can't consider such a possibility. Tiktani Basar. I mean, if we're talking about Truma, how can you say that he's made his Truma? He made his school in meat, Altair's Truma. It's ludicrous. So Basar, me ego, would do such a thing. Yeah, okay. And what do you say? You're saying he's talking about Chulun Shana, so Altair's a Kedesh. But the only way that we knew that it couldn't be Kedesh is because it mentioned venison. Well, so then I have the same question. Venison. How could it be Chulun Shana Azal Taras HaKedesh? There's no such thing as Kedesh venison. The same question to you. Elamai, Bekachim. So where do we get Chaya Bekachim Iika? That's not a problem. I mean, you look at a steak, it's a steak. I mean, you're going to look at it, you're going to know immediately that it's venison and it's not beef. You're not going to know. So Basar, Basar, Mechlef. Over there, it's very reasonable. The person who has meat of Kedesh in his house is a true Kedesh. Okay, so he wants to make sure all of his meat is stored. But Taras HaKedesh, Nafkamina, if it's Chaya meat, if it's Behema meat, that's not the point. If he knows he can easily get mixed stuff. But Basar, but Peire, lo michlef. Fine. Comes along Kula, and he says, look, the boys say, Chavraya Amrim, that we're talking about Chulun Shana Azal Taras HaKedesh. Now, obviously, he can't be referring to Rabbi Elazar's statement. I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Oshaya, because he never would have called Rabbi Elazar the boys, because that was his Rebbe. So therefore, the Gemara is going to ask, well, which boys is he talking about over here? Okay, but we're going to find out who said that. But so apparently, Rabbi Elazar says, Tosfos, it must be that Rabbi Elazar himself didn't say that. Right? In other words, It's we who said that it's Lok Reb Yoshua, even though it's all put together. I'm Reb Elazar. If that would have been true, then he never would have said the boy said it, because that was his Rebbe who said. Must be that Reb Elazar just said our mission is talking about Chulun Shana Azal Taras HaKedesh. The boys explain that that's the Lok Reb Yoshua. So Ula now makes this step. By the way, that's what my friends say, but I disagree. So Chavraya Amri Bekulin Shnasal Taras HaKadosh Delok Rabbi Yeshua, and I say Ma Pitom. Whoever told you that Rabbi Yeshua was saying the only possible case is Chulun Shnasal Taras Truma? Maybe he was saying even Chulun Shnasal Taras Truma. Now, how do you know he's limiting it to Chulun Shnasal Taras Truma? Velomi Baika Amar, and he's saying not only. In other words, Lomi Baika Chulun Shnasal Taras Kadosh. Well, but that's, oh, wow, that Kodesh, that's very chumrim. If a guy's going to treat him with such a chumra, then we'll say there's a shlishi. Because, I mean, after all, Kodesh has shlishi and revi, so we'll give it a shlishi. I want you to know, says Rabbi Yeshua, even Chulun Shana Azal Taras Truma, obviously Chulun Shana Azal Taras Kodesh, but Be'ezer Kodesh, even Chulun Shana Azal Taras Truma, nami ispu shlishi. So therefore, I don't see any reason for us to conclude that it's not going with Rabbi Yeshua. Now, when Ula referred to his friends, the boys, who was he referring to? Obviously not Rabbi Elazar. So who are Chavraya? Man Chavraya, do we have a record of someone who analyzed Rabbi Yeshua in a way that forces us to take the words Chulun Shana Azal Taras Truma as being absolute, not a possibility, but an absolute? Yes, that's Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. The other Rabbi Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quotes Rabbi Yochanan as reporting a conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. My Ahadri Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua Lahadari. What was the conversation, which will of course give us insight into the logic behind two illogical positions that both seem to be illogical. And in arguing out with each other, we figure out what exactly is the issue. So let's start with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Yeshua and he said to him, look, we do have a model where eating something is more chamur than what you eat. How is that? Matzino ochel, the eater, chamur min ha'ochel. more chamor than the food. Now, being as it's a little difficult for people to concentrate if they're not used to speaking Lashon HaKodesh in the Mila'el and Mila'ra, Gemara changes the word ochel into ma'achal, just to make it clear. But obviously the ochel is the eater, and the ochel is the food. So the ochel, the eater, is more chamor than the ochel, which is the food. Okay? So where do we find that? Nivla tov tahor, right? A nivla tov tahor, in and of itself, if it isn't being eaten, is it tame? Can it be metame anything? No. Doesn't do anything. So when it's not in your body, achutz, zametame. The moment that you eat it, you metame begarim, and when it's in your beit habliyim. So obviously, what is that an indication of? That the Torah is teaching us that the eating of something liberates the tumah that's in it and makes you more tame than that thing could be when it was just on its own. No, that's all that I'm saying. So that would mean that when you eat something which is tame on its own, so we're certainly going to make you at least as tame as it is. Does that make sense? So anu heich lo naaseh the ochel kema'achal. If we're making a gezerah over here about the tumat gviyah from eating, then obviously we're certainly not going to go down one level. If the only example we have of eating as a source of tumah, yadafka go up a level, we're going to make now a gezerah to go down? Doesn't make sense. We always follow the model as it's given in the Torah. And as it's given in the Torah, this has nothing to do with the standard attenuation of tumah through touching. This is a brand new idea. Rabbi Yeshua, how does he deal with that point? Rabbi Yeshua says, well, come on, I mean, you can't use Nivlot of Tahor as a model. I mean, Nivlot of Tahor violates every other standard model of tumah. See, that's the klal, where you have a general set of halachas. You have one strange thing, which l'maisa the Torah never is ma'zir l'klalo, then the din is that it's a chiddush. You don't learn out from a chiddush. You take standard models and you use them as things to build additional gezeras on. You don't choose the craziest thing. But I say just the opposite. We actually do find in the standard model that the food, the ma'achal, is more chamor than the eater, than the ochel. Where? Well, because a foodstuff can transfer tumah with one kibbet. But an eater is only going to be tame if he eats the chatzi pras. That's a little bit of a problem with the Rabbeinu Tam, who tines that the gezer of Yud Ches Tavar is chatzi pras. But he says, okay, but we're going back to the din of Psil Gviyah, which was initially before the Takana of Yud Ches Dvarim was initially chatzi pras. All right. Again, side point. We don't need to worry about it too much. So if we see that there's a greater chumrah then in food than in eating, no. So what, we're going to make now someone who eats as chomer as the food? Then obviously we treat it the way we always treat tumah. Namely, it's attenuated. Each time it goes out something else, it's one step lower. So anu eich nasa ochel kema'achal. How are we going to say that the person who ate is as chomer as what he ate? Ridiculous. Rabbi Eliezer's response to that is, what in the world does the quantum of tumah have to do with the impact of the tumah? I don't understand what you're talking about. You bring a raya from shiurim. Shiurim is, that's the quanta of the tumah. Okay, what is tame? Kizayit, chatzi pras, whatever the heck. What does that have to do with what the tumah is? It's not present if there's not one quanta of it. But that has nothing to do with the energy of the tumah. It's two completely different issues. So you're telling me this has a bit of a kibbutz, this is a chatzi pras. It's irrelevant to the chumrah of the tumah. So you're mixing up two completely different issues. Tumah from shiurim, we don't learn out the dinim of tumah from shiurim. Lo gamrim. Okay, furthermore, you are totally inconsistent yourself. You're telling me, well, how are we going to make the guy who eats as chomer as what he ate? Okay, so I'll take the first step of what you said. Guy eats a risha, becomes a shady. That's great. That's very consistent. The next word that you said was, and a guy eats a sheni is a sheni. Huh? You just said, how could we possibly make the guy who eats his chomer as what he ate? And you just did that. So how do you explain that? You're not, you obviously don't really believe yourself what you said. Arishon Sheni, very nice. Yafe Ata Omer. But what about the next thing? How about Sheni Sheni? Where'd you get that from? Loma. Amar Lo. No, that has nothing to do with your logic. That's a whole new can of worms. What that is about is a different halacha. Now, this different halacha, again, before we see the Gemara, let us recall that normally we need to have hechshon to be makabel. So you have a food stuff, you have a dried food stuff. It had to have been exposed with intent to water, or at least with appreciation of the water, to water. Without that, it's not going to be a makabel tumah no matter what it touches. But what about water itself, or any of the seven mashkins, or water, I mean, any of the seven mashkins? So any of the seven mashkin, by definition, obviously, they're already mokshe l'kabel tumah, and the mashkin other things have been mokabel tumah. Now, because of that, we have this concept called mashkin alulim l'kabel tumah. Mashkin are always in a prepared state of prone. Exactly, thank you. They're prone to tumah. Since they're prone to tumah, the Rabbanan made the zeres to see to it that you'd be more machmer on mashkin. And what they did was, the takana was that any time that mashkin are makabel tumah, I don't care what they're makabel tumah from, they're treated as a rishon tumah. Now, if that's the case, what happens is, and this is why we have to be very mindful when we're touching wet peirot and things like that, we need to wash your hands because then stam yadayim, which are sheni, if they're going to touch the mashkin is a rishon, then it will literally be matama directly to pri. So that creates a whole new problem. Okay. But since that's the case, it means that the tum'at yadayim really can create a sheni. It's a sheni, and yet it created a sheni. Obviously through the medium of water, but it ends up creating a sheni. So therefore, even though I normally hold it, of course you have to worry about attenuation. So rishon, if you eat a rishon, you're going to become a sheni. But since shenis do make shenis, so in that case, we're going to be machmer that eating is equivalent to being exposed to water. I mean, it makes sense. Put it in your mouth, chewing it, saliva, and so on. And, you know, you take a drink at the same time. And who knows? Already, once we're talking about eating, this is a whole sugya elsewhere about whether we have to be chayish or put something else in your mouth. You'll drink wine of truma, be mitami, so on. There's reasons for this chumra that we don't need to go into over here. And because of that, I always go there that a sheni indeed becomes a sheni. Fine. Okay. Very nice. So then you're saying, says now Rabbi Elazar to him, well, I mean, if that's what you think, so then why talk about the sheni or it's a sheni? You could talk about the mashkin become a rishon. I mean, why does it have to be through the medium of a mashkin? Let's talk about the mashkin itself. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns, come off it. Mashkin is completely out of the running. Mashkin becomes a tchila. You're not talking about that. Therefore, this isn't logical. But we'll take Rashi's approach. So, if that's the case, we should have made him a rishon also. Mashkin becomes a tchila. Did not call up a sel betruma. Anything that would make truma possible, which means it's a sheni, like stam yadayim or any of the yudches dvarim, actually, touches a sefer Torah, whatever. Any of the things that we were gozer tuma on is mitami mashkin liyot tchila. Except for one thing. What is that? That is a tfuyom. Now, tfuyom is a whole different issue again. Because we need to understand that just like we have differences in voltage and amperage, the same thing is true about tuma. And we also have our different quanta of tuma. We talked about shiurim. Is the tuma there? The tuma is not there. Then the question is, okay, how chomer is this tuma? Is it a rishon? Is it a sheni? Is it a shlishi? That's like saying, how many volts is it? Is it 200 volts? It's 12 volts? And so on. But you're going to have a billion volts to touch it and not even feel it because there's barely any energy there. So a tvoyom has got a different problem. The tuma that is there is minuscule because he's already been to the mikveh. He's on his way to Tyre. The sun will set. He's not going to be tummy. So even though technically speaking, yes, in terms of the quanta, it's there. In terms of the voltage, it's there. The chumra of the tuma is a shlishi and he's not allowed to eat truma. But it's kolosh. The technical language is kolosh. It's weak. There's no amperage. Because of that, it's not going to be able to be metami in tumat here to turn mashkin. We should be geyser that such a thing, weak tumah should be mashkin, make mashkin into rishon. We didn't make that gezer. Okay, so it's very important for the Rabbanan to see to it that you retain your sensitivity to the different issues that are involved. Otherwise, people just tend to lump everything together. Okay. So, except for Tvuyon. So, if that's the case, in the very logic that you're bringing me, says Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua, that Sheni is Eiser Sheni, why not be Machmer to be Eiser Risha, like Mashkin itself? Why only what Mashkin touched? Furthermore, let's move on, okay? Let's say you'll be able to explain this to me, which I doubt. But let's take a look at the next piece, says Rabbi Eliezer. Then you go and say something really crazy. You say, a Shlishi is a Sheni. Now, this I got to understand. How in the world is a Shlishi a Sheni? What's the logic to that? Omar lo, I'll tell you. Afani lo amarti, a look at Truma. Didn't you hear what I said? I said that Chulin, Shinazotar's Truma, is what we're dealing with over here. And therefore, you're not taking into consideration another issue. Now, this other issue, as I said, there's a lot of complex things that we're not used to thinking in. But that other issue is called ma'alot. And that means that we have different sets. All of them have the same dinim. So there's whatever's going to be b'tame in the set of chulin, whatever's going to be b'tame in the set of truma, whatever's going to be b'tame in the set of kedesh, whatever's going to be b'tame in the set of pora. Those, by the way, are the sets. Unless you hold meiser is different, there is one shita. That's a machlokus. We already saw some of it. Meiser is more chomer. We talked about that, whether you need kavona for meiser and so on, right? Early. But in the sets, even though the dinim are the same, and Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi is the same, obviously, it depends which set, how far down you'll go. You go down to Shlishi, go down to Revi, go down even to Chamishi in certain cases. But one thing is that the Rabbanan were geyser, that what is Tahar in a lower set is by definition Tamei in a higher set. So in other words, you could have been completely Tahar, not having any idea that you were going to expose to Truma. You never deal with Truma. And you touch Truma, you'll be Matami the Truma. What do you mean? Be Matami the Truma, I just got out of the mikveh, you idiot. What am I? Doesn't matter, you're Tomei. But I went to the mikveh. But you weren't thinking about Truma. So as far as Truma is concerned, it's Esach HaDas. You could have been a Kohen who's been eating Truma, all of a sudden they build the base on Mikdash, and there's Kodesh, whatever. You're Tomei. What do you mean I'm Tomei? Because you weren't thinking about Kodesh. You've been eating Kodesh the entire year, and now you're called upon to deal with the Parah Aduma. You're telling me you're Matami everything in the Parah Aduma. So that's called the Ma'alot HaTuma. Therefore, says Rabbi Shah, you didn't pay attention to what I said. I said, I'm talking about Chulin Shnas Altar's Truma. Now, Truma is by definition Tame for Kodesh, isn't it? So why are you asking me, why would a Shlishi make a Sheni? I said, a Shlishi of Chulin Shnas Altar's Truma makes a Sheni L'Kodesh, didn't I? That makes perfectly good sense, because it's always more chomer when it comes to chulin, when it comes to kodesh, than when it is to truma. Now, what this means is that he said those words, chulin shenaso al tairas truma, those words are meant dafka. Don't try to tell me that the reason that they were meant dafka is the reason that he's giving now, which is, of course, the only case where this would be true, where you could go up from Shlishi to Sheni would be where you started in Truma, and therefore you're going to be Machmer by Chulin. But of course, had it been Chulin Shenatzu Altar as a Kadesh, then a Echol Shlishi would be a Shlishi. No. No. Because if the only reason that he said the words between Chulin Shenatzu Altar as Truma was to explain why he's being Machmer to make a Shlishi a Sheni, then what was Rabbi Elazar thinking when he asked him? When Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yeshua, what kind of stupidity is this to make a Shlishi a Sheni? Rabbi Yeshua should have looked at him like he's crazy. I don't understand. I explained to you what my reason was. My reason was that if the case of Chulin was Shnasot Taras Truma, that it's going to make it into a Sheni. What do you think I said that for? So obviously, Rabbi Eliezer understood, what do you think I said it for? You didn't say it for that. You said it because that's the only case that you have available. Then when I asked, because you don't believe in Chulin Shenaso Altar HaKodesh at all, when I ask you, what's your logic? you point out to me, well, remember, works out very well according to me, because anyway the case has got to be Chulin Shenasar al Taharas Truma, and Chulin Shenasar al Taharas Truma is Tamei for Kodesh. But that means that there's no question that the way Rabbi Barachana reported this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua is out of the running for the Mishnah. Because he's saying that's the only case that I have available. So don't try to tell me, as Ula did. Ula's referring now. Obviously, he's saying the boys say, this is Rabbi Barachana. Okay. Ula says, on the contrary. First of all, I never heard any of this. But it's Rabbi Yochanan saying this is a conversation. I mean, it's a theoretical conversation. I don't know if it ever took place. Don't know. But why not read the words in Rabbi Yoshua, B'chulin Shenasu al Taharas Truma, as the reason? Not as the only case. And therefore, if you're saying even B'chulin Shenasu al Taharas Truma as a Shlishi, which then would make a Sheni Lakodesh, not to mention, of course, B'chulin Shenasu al Taharas Lakodesh, of course, yes. A shlishi, but then it wouldn't make the sheni. There, that's how I understand it. So what we have over here is a machlokus between Ula and Rabbi Bar Bachana as to how to read those words in Rabbi Yeshua. Are they the explanation of why shlishi can make a sheni, and therefore they have nothing to do with whether I believe in Chulin Shenasar al Taharas HaKodesh? They only have to do with whether the case has to be limited, in this case, the Chulin Shenasar al Taharas Truma, because we're going up from Shlishi to Sheni, or whether it's the only possible case, in which case he needs to explain to you, by the way, not only is it the only possible case, it also justifies my conclusion that a Shlishi is a Sheni. So that would be good for the Machlokes of how to understand, can the Mishnah be going on Levit Rabbi Yeshua or not? Very simple. So Hanach, lo amarti ala b'truma, asher taharata, tuma yetzal ha-kodesh. Since I'm only talking about truma, truma is able to be more chomer than it was when you ate it, if the impact is the kodesh, because you always go up the kodesh. Okay? So, but meanwhile, you see, al taharas ha-kodesh, not only al taharas truma. Om Rav Yizera, Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, Ha'ochel shlishi shochulin, shenasu al taharas hakodesh. Okay, now, there's a little bit of a problem over here. Rabbi Bar Bachana reported the conversation in the name of Omar Rabbi Yochanan, correct? So that according to Rabbi Yochanan, what Rabbi Yeshua was talking about was limited to chulin shenasu al taharas truma. That's what we just proved. Who are the boys? Rabbi Bar Bachana. Rabbi Bar Bachana was quoting Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe's Kabbalah as to what had the discussion been. Problem is that here we find Rabbi Yochanan being quoted by Rabbi Zera as saying the opposite, that ha'ochel ochel shlishi kushinas ha'tar zakeidesh. Oh, tar zakeidesh, big problem. There ain't no such thing, I thought. All right, nasegufa sheni lekeidesh. Wow. Well, we just went through this whole explanation of no, you can only be more chomer if you ate kushinas ha'tar truma. Then you can be more chomer and be metame kodesh as a sheni, correct? Now, so this is illogical, you'll say also? No, it's not illogical. Because the truth is, you don't need the conclusion of I'm only talking about chulin shenasar al taharas truma to explain how eating shlishi will make you a sheni lekodesh. Because for God's sake, chulin shenasar al taharas kodesh isn't kodesh. It has chumras of kodesh, but doesn't have kulas of kodesh. So therefore, if I ate a shlishi of chulin shenasar al taharas kodesh, maybe I can make a sheni for kodesh, for real kodesh. But you tell me my artificial chulin shenasar al taharas kodesh is more tar than real truma? Who says? If I was tar for real truma, I would still be matami the kodesh. No. So if I'm tar for chulin shenasar al taharas kodesh, maybe I can, if I ate shlishi, maybe I could make a sheni for real kodesh. This isn't real kodesh. So the truth is, therefore, that this entire conversation ain't necessarily so. The fact that Rabbi Yehoshua would justify his shlishi is a sheni only because we're limiting the case to chulin shenaser altar shuma. Not necessarily. It would be perfectly logical to maintain that chulin shenaser altar hakadosh is not really kadosh, and therefore something that would be tamei on that level would be more tamei when it comes to kadosh. Why is that so crazy? And that is essentially what Rabbi Yochanan himself is being quoted here as saying. Which, of course, is a contradiction to what we just quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying, I'll leave it around for Barchana. Okay? So, in reality, we have three different issues with the conversation as reported. Is the statement, B'chulin Shanasa Atar's Truma, just a comment on that's the way it is, because nothing else is available? Is it the explanation of why it is that it's possible for Shlishi to make a sheni? Or is it not even the explanation? Because it has nothing to do with its being truma. It could have been even chulin shenaser altar hakadosh, and still, as this case claims, and still make Shlishi a sheni. And therefore, asks Rabbi Zeira to Rabbi Asi, this is what I heard you say, but it makes no sense. Didn't we just read that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quoted Rabbi Yochanan, which you are quoting, for heaven's sakes, opposite? We just read that he said, a shlishi a sheni l'kodesh v'ein sheni l'truma, only on chulin shenaser altar's truma. And that means only altar's truma in, altar's hakodesh lo. He never accepted that that halach would be true about altar's hakodesh. Or Malay said, Rabbi Asi, no, not true. Lomi Baikamar, he was saying, even that case is shayach to being a shlishi, and in this particular case, it's the reason that we would be metame as a sheni. That doesn't bother me. Why can't it just be lomi boy? Okay, I don't see that as being in any way a question. All I'm saying is that so too with chulin shenaser altar hakadosh. And he's saying it could even be with chulin shenaser altar truma. And the reason has nothing to do with its being truma. What? And what about that whole piece about af ani lo amarti ella betruma? Rabbi Yochanan said that what Rabbi Yehoshua responded was, it's all because I'm only talking about truma, and you're saying no, it could even be kodesh. What are you talking? Oh, yeah, no, that part is true. I did not hear that from Rabbi Yochanan. I heard another story from Rabbi Yochanan. It's Amoroi Ninu. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana's report to Rabbi Yochanan was that Rabbi Yehoshua was justifying his opinion dafka because it was true enough. Rabbi Asi had heard from Rabbi Yochanan that had nothing to do with that. It happened to be that that was the case, but certainly it didn't need to be the case. Because it does all the chulin shenaser altar hakadosh, and it has nothing to do with the psak that a shlishi becomes a sheni, because even chulin shenaser altar hakadosh would make a shlishi a sheni. So there's no problem. Omar Ula, ha'ochel shlishi shalchur shenas. Shall we do a little review here? Because this is really so much fun.
Yes, please.
No, it's really, it's just so adorable. It's wonderful.
What?
Yeah, no, we can review. This is a new thing. Okay. So let's. Now, you know what? The next piece works as an introduction to the review. Let's read the next piece, because the next piece really is what we should have started with. It makes things very easy. And let's just read this next thing. Omra Ula, Ocho Shlishi Shafurin, Shanaso Altaris Truma, Nifsau Gufo Milecho Betruma. So somebody eats Shlishi. Chulin shenaser altar is truma. Now, this is fine, because it would appear that everybody would agree that if you eat that, then for sure, you yourself become possible from eating truma. And whoever argued on that, Rabbi Eliezer agreed to that, Rabbi Yehoshua agreed to that, the Maika Mashman, what is the finish over here? Isn't that what we just read to Nina? Shlishi, if you eat a shlishi, you become a sheni l'kodesh, but not a sheni l'truma. in a case where the chulin shlishi was chulin shnas altaras truma. Okay, that's what even Rabbi Yeshua was ready to say. Now, he said, "Ve'ein sheni l'truma," right? Ain sheni l'truma means, but he's certainly a shlishi l'truma. And if he's a shlishi l'truma, he's not allowed to eat truma. That's truma is possible. Truma possible is possible for shlishi. If the body is a shlishi, it's not right for truma. Isn't that part of what Rabbi Yeshua was saying? No, says Ula, it's not. Let's say you had read that statement, imeahi. Why couldn't you read that as understanding? Lo sheni habi, v'lo shlishi habi. For truma, maybe it's zero. Say, if it's zero, why did you say it's not a sheni? Because I was saying it's a sheni b'kadesh, but don't think it's a sheni b'truma. That's all I meant. It's nothing for truma. I mean, that's the point. I'm just talking about sheni b'kadesh. I'm saying, but it's not a sheni b'truma, of course. So I needed to come along to teach you how to read that properly. Kamash malan. Now, eight favor of Amnuna l'ula, and here is the fundamental statement about these halachas. So this is our introduction. HaRishon shebechulin, tameh umetameh. Rishon can not only be tameh, it also gives out tumah, which is why we call it tameh, even for chulin. But hasheni is not able to give out tumah any further if it's chulin, and therefore it's only called pasul. It's not called tameh, because you won't detect the tumah in it anymore. If you don't detect tumah in something, it was nifsal through touching tumah, but it itself isn't tameh. That's the whole point. Tameh means exuding. It's like the difference between something that's affected by magnetism and something that's a magnet. We're never going to say that this is a magnet just because it's attracted to a magnet. Now, it's possible for a magnet to be rubbed over something and to make that thing temporarily magnetic. So then it would be like tameh, because then I would detect magnetism in it. Same issue over here. So if it's affected by tuma, it's called pasul. If it actually gets some of that tuma, albeit attenuated, it's called tameh. Now, the shlishi of chulin. You could even eat that in a bowl of cereal mixed with truma sugar. Because it's absolutely nothing. Dema means mixture of chulin and truma. A nezid is either a porridge, oatmeal, or what, any type of porridge. It means, yeah, flavorings of truma. What are you worried about? Shlishi? Touch the sheni? It's nothing. It's not even tummy at all. Mix it with tuma. Mix it with truma. It's fine. Now, I got a little bit of a problem here. According to you, what you just said was that the correct way to read Rabbi Yeshua is that actually if somebody eats a shlishi, and where would he get the shlishi? Chulin shnas altaras truma, which could be a shlishi, he becomes pasul from eating truma. Okay, I'd like to understand the case. You said we have shlishi here. You're telling me it can be eaten b'nezid adema. Eaten b'nezid adema means that by definition it's meant to be mixed with truma. So if it's meant to be mixed with truma, then it's chulin shnas altaras truma. Right? You're mixing it with truma, so obviously you're not going to be metame it. Wow. You're putting it in a cereal bowl together with truma.
Is that together a netta that you make?
Makesh? No, but it doesn't require net. It's not a din of netta. It means that it's miyuchad for the purposes of truma. So that could be either to literally mix with truma. This is how Rashi understands. The truth is, not everybody agrees with this, as you're pointing out. But Rashi takes the circuit to mean, although he offers another approach, he doesn't like the other approach for many reasons. This is the approach he ends up liking. Since it's going to be mixed in a bowl of cereal with truma, so basically it's chulin shnas altaras truma. Okay. So now you're telling me, chulin shnas altaras truma, if it's a shlishi, what impact is it going to have on the truma? Absolutely none. You're 100% right. So therefore, what are you suggesting? Call in a kohen and let him eat. Okay. He starts eating. And what happens? He just ate shlishi. And what happens to him? You said he's pasul for eating truma. You just gave him a bowl of truma. You told him to go eat it. But the bowl contains shlishi, which doesn't affect the truma, but it doesn't affect him. And you're telling me his body becomes nifsal for eating truma. How the heck are we giving the kohen something and telling him to eat it when in eating it, he's not allowed to eat it? It becomes nifsal from achilas truma. That's crazy. So obviously, it doesn't become nisar from Achilas Truma. Doesn't make the way you were reading Rabbi Yishuv is wrong. Maybe Ein Sheni LeTruma means nothing for Truma. It's not even nisar gufo from Achilas Truma. How is he explaining the Zidat Dema? The case in the Zidat Dema, ridiculous. Please, leave that aside. I'm not going to Zidat Dema. You want to bring me questions, bring me intelligent questions. The Zidat Dema has nothing to do with anything here. Because, look, in order for there to be a problem in this Achila of the Truma, then you have to have a shear. If you don't have a shear of Kezayas Bechtei Achilas Pras, you don't have a shear of Truma here, you see. And therefore, since we're talking about a mixture, and the mixture is that you're using sugar of Truma. Now, how much sugar? Would you think that anybody was able to eat flavored Cheerios in those days where it's 90% sugar? It would just be that if you ate three bowls of this stuff, you would finally eat a kezayis of the Truma. Right? Okay, but if that's the case, since you don't have a kezayis bechtei in this press, you do not have your chulin shenasu al taras truma. The only reason you called it al taras truma because of the sugar of the truma that's in it. But you don't have sufficient sugar of truma present there to equal a quanta of truma. Because the only thing that demands of you to treat something with the tire of truma is if there's truma here. And the truma here is defined as the amount of truma that you could eat within the shear of achilas pras. But by the time you ate an achilas pras of this cereal, it still won't have a kezias in it. If you keep eating another three bowls, you'll get your kezias, but it'll be over the course of time in which the kezias is not mitzdarit. So there's no kezias of truma here. So this is irrelevant to our discussion. I'm not talking about over here eating it with the chulin shenasu al taras truma. Therefore, it's bechlal not a problem. All right, so let's review so far what we have. We have more chiddushim coming up tomorrow in terms of the relationship of the isser of touching something versus the isser of eating something, which we're just reaching right now. Because we're talking about having eaten, whether you're allowed to eat, even though it would make no impact in touching. So, we are talking about a new type of isser here, which is the din of Tumas Gvia. The only reason we got into this was entirely tangential. We were trying to figure out not isser Gvia, Tumas Gvia, we were trying to figure out touching. As the Mishnah said, if an animal had been wetted with blood, you can't touch it with regular yadayim, stam yadayim. And the Mishnah was clearly talking about chulin. He was talking about chulin. Why would chulin be impacted by a sheni? There's no problem with chulin touching sheni, as we just learned. Chulin, a shlishi of chulin, forget it. Mix it with truma. What's the difference? So we needed to figure out an answer. To get to the answer, we had to touch upon the sugya of chulin shabasu al taras hakodesh. Because that was the only way we could figure out that chulin would become tame from a problem of a shlishi touching a shani, could become a shlishi. Because of that problem, we went into this sugya of tumat gvia. Why? Because it happens to be in that sugya, since we have a machlokas, which Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, about what the din is of someone who eats a shlishi of chulin, we have to figure out how would you have a shlishi of chulin to understand how that's nogei our Mishnah. What happens to be that right there we have a machlokas as to whether this is chulin shenasu al taras truma would give you a shlishi, or chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh would give you a shlishi. The problem is if only chulin shenasu al taras truma gives you a shlishi, because truma chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh is too crazy for the rabbanim to have accepted as a real concept, since it's too far off, and batla dietary, then our Mishnah no longer has a solution, because it's our Mishnah talking about eating meat. It can't possibly be talking about meat that would be treated as truma, because you'd have to be insane to treat meat as truma. How is anybody going to confuse meat with an orange? Masha Enkein, if there is a concept of chulin shenasu al taras Kodesh, then the Mishnah makes sense, because even though the Mishnah is talking about venison, and it's saying that it would have been makabel tuma from a sheni, and there's no such thing as Kodesh venison, but nonetheless, people at least could confuse one piece of meat with another piece of meat. And therefore, we would accept Kulich and Hasra Altar HaKadosh being reasonable to discuss what the din would be of a chaya that was wedded with blood, you know, now being Makavotim. That was the simple explanation of our Mishnah and its relationship to this sugya. Now, in the context of that discussion, we discovered that it isn't really all that clear that there's a machlokas about whether there's chumen shemasra atar sakay. Why? Because even though when Rabbi Yoshua was justifying and explaining, what am I talking about? I am talking about a case of chumen shemasra atar truma. It's not clear whether he meant to say I'm only talking about a case of chumen shemasra atar truma, or whether he's saying even a case of chumen shemasra atar truma is possible to have a shlishi. Certainly, chulin shenasra altaras hakodesh is possible to have a shlishi. If he holds that, so then our Mishnah could be going either like Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Yoshua, and it's talking about chulin shenasra altaras hakodesh. All of this is very straightforward. The part that was a little bit complex was the actual machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The reason it was complex is because it dealt with issues we're not used to dealing with. It's actually very, very straightforward. So it's quite simple. According to Rabbi Elazar, the klal is when it comes to tumat gviya and having eaten something, you are always what you eat. Everybody knows that. It's all the women's magazines. You are what you eat. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that. So if you eat a rishon, rishon, sheni, or sheni, shlishi, or shlishi, the way that he got to that is because he learns it out from nivlat of tohar. So over there, the Torah is more machmir on eating than it is on not eating. So we're certainly not going to, if we're going to make a gezeirah that something is metame through eating, we're not going to have it become attenuated in eating. It's going to, it'll remain the same. Reasonable. Fine. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, has a complex shita that involves three separate steps. The first step is that, in general, we go down. We don't go up. Therefore, Rishon is a shita. Fine. The second step is, if he's a sheni, you're also a sheni. Why is that? Because since there's a standing gzeira on mashkin, that are lulu l'kabel tuma, and therefore, when you're dealing with mashkin, a sheni always makes a sheni. Because if you touch the mashkin, the mashkin becomes a rishon. And then the mashkin make the next piece of pri that they're attached to, a wet pear. Now the pear is going to be l'kabel tuma as a sheni for the mashkin. See? So because of that, it makes sense a sheni should be a sheni. A shlishi, he says, could even be a sheni for kodesh. Now the question is, why? So, one possibility is why? Well, because since we're dealing here with chulin shenasra altaras truma, they're considered to be tamei for chulin anyway. So naturally, it would go up. If that's the reason for kodesh, what did I say? So I meant Kodesh, but instead. So for Kodesh, they would be more tummy. If that's the truth, and that's the only reason that he chose that case of Kulinch and Nasa Hataras Truma, then obviously he wasn't limiting the possibility of Shlishi Bechulin to a case of Truma. He just brought in the case of Truma to explain why the Shini becomes a Shlishi, which sounds like what he's saying. Shlishi, Shini, Lit, Kodesh. But Shlishi, which was Chulin Shenasra Altaras Truma. That makes a lot of sense. So then he wasn't even coming to discuss how you could have a Shlishi in Chulin. Anyway, Chulin Shenasra Altaras Truma, Chulin Shenasra Altaras Kodesh. So it ended up being no machlokas about that, if that's the thing. That's one approach. Another approach is, no, the reason I mentioned that is because it's the only case that I have. It was the only case that I have. I meant it as my reason. It ends up being my reason. Okay, so then it is a machlokes to Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Eliezer. The other possibility is, now I just want you to know that it's possible to find truva, chulin shenasra altaras truma, to have a shlishi, even there. As to the question of why shlishi makes a sheni, no, that has nothing to do with that. The reason a shlishi makes a sheni is because since the only way that we have a shlishi bechulin is always through an artificial artifact of either taras truma or taras hakodesh, the artificial is never as good as the real. So therefore, if it was a sheni in the artificial world, will be machmer. In a shlishi in the artificial world, will be machmer in the real world to make it a sheni to real kodesh. In which case, for sure he didn't mean this. He didn't mean as a reason. He didn't mean as a case. He was only expanding the repertoire of cases. That's all. That's why it sounded complicated to us. But it's important to keep these two discussions completely separate, because they really have nothing to do with each other. One is a straightforward question. There may be a machlokas about Roshana Zaltar Sakedesh. And the other is this complex three-way possibility of why Rabbi Yeshua mentioned Kulun Shanah Sotar Shtruma. That's all there is to it. It's very straightforward. The last nakuda that we added was that don't think that just because he spoke about Aokal Shlishi becomes a Sheni L'chulin and not L'truma, don't think that he meant you're not Tameh for Truma. You certainly are not allowed to eat Truma. That's what Ula was saying. He's just saying you don't become a sheni, you become the equivalent of a shlishi. That's all. Is good. Is wonderful fun. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshaya, Hacha B'chulin Shanas V'Atar Zakedish Askinim V'Zalok Rabbi Yoshua, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Ochal Ochal Rishon Rishon, Sheni Sheni, Shlishi Shlishi. Rabbi Yoshua, Amar Ochal Ochal Rishon V'Sheni Sheni, Shlishi Sheni L'Kodesh V'en Sheni L'Truma. What kind of chulin? Chulin shenasu altaris truma. Aha! Altaris truma in altaris hakadosh lo? Clearly, kasrava chulin shenasu altaris hakadosh does not have a shlishi. Okay, fine. So then say the Mishnah is talking about chulin shenasu altaris truma. And then it does go like Rabbi Yeshua. How can it be talking about that? It's talking about basar. Ibn truma basar meika elamai. It's talking about kachim and echaya bekachim meika. That's not a problem. Basar be basar michla. Basar be peri lo michla. Whereas I say fits perfectly well with Rabbi Yeshua. All Rabbi Yeshua meant to say was Lomi Boika Omar. Lomi Boika Kulin Shanazu Ataras Kedesh, which is very calmer. That for sure has a shlishi. I'm just coming to tell you that Afilu Kulin Shanazu Ataras Truma Nami Isbu Shlishi. Who were these Chavraya that Ula was referring to? Since apparently Rabbi Elazar never said to look Rabbi Yeshua, it is Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Yidam Rabba Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan. Maya Hadri Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Ladadi. Omala Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Matsinu Ochel Chamur Mena Ochel. Dilo Nivlat Ov Tahor Bachutz Lo Metame. Vilo Ochela Metame Beganim Abay Tabliya. Vianu Eich Lo Nase Ochel Kemachal. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, Matzinu Sham Ma'achal Chamur Min Ha'Ochel Dilu Ma'achal B'Kibetza V'Ochel Adochu K'Chatzi Pras V'Yonu Heich Na'aseh Ochel K'Ma'achal. Rabbi Eliezer, Tuma Mishiurim Lo Gamrina. Not to mention that Od V'Dvorecha Shatoh Me'ar Rishon Sheniv. All right, that's about all that made sense in what you said. Yofat Omer. And now, how do you explain Sheni Sheni Lama? Amala, that's a different thing. That's Matzinu. Shah Sheni Ozu Sheni Ayede Mashkin. Amala, Mashkin. Mashkin is a Tchila also. The Tan Kala Posa Betruma Matame Mashkin Leot Tchila Chutz Mitful Yom. And even if you'll explain that to me, what about the Shlishi Sheni? How do you explain that? Shlishi Sheni Lama. Amala, well, Afani Lo Amarti Ala Betruma. Shetaharata Tumaye Tzla Kodesh. Om Rabbi Zer, Om Rabbi Asi, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Whoa, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Om Rabbi Yanai, Aoch HaShlish Yochul Shaz Vatar HaKodesh. Oh my gosh, this is really confusing. Nas HaGuf HaShenei LeKodesh. Eitz V'Rabbi Zer, Om Rabbi Asi, I just heard your quote, and it makes no sense, because Rabbi Yochanan himself said, Shlishi Shenei LeKodesh, Ein Shenei LeTruma, B'chulin Shenaz Vatar Truma only. Vatar Truma in, Vatar HaKodesh Lo. Amalei, but why do you say only? Even. What do you mean, even? Rabbi Yochanan said that he, Rabbi Yoshua, had answered Rabbi Elazar with the words, well, ani lo amarti ela betruma. And you're telling me, even? Well, I'm a rain, you know, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei, ha'olcha shlishi shokun shenasu ataris truma, nifsal gufo milachol betruma. Well, isn't that obvious? Nobody argued on that. My kamashman. Tanina, even according to Rabbi Yoshua, Ochal Ochal Shlishi Sheni LeKodesh Vein Sheni LeTruma Chulin Shenaz Vatar Truma Sheni Hu DeLo Avi for Truma, but a Shlishi he is. Well, no. In reality, he's not Tomei at all. Lo sheni avi v'lo shlishi avi. The only reason he said he's not a sheni is in contrast to a kodesh. I did Omar. He is a sheni b'kodesh. He says, but he's not a sheni b'truma. Therefore, I need to explain to you that he is a shlishi for truma. Come on, Shmuel. Eich v'rebenuna la'ula. Harishon shebechulin tamei u'metamei. V'hasheni posel v'eino metamei. V'hashlishi, nothing. Now, according to you, I amit nifsa gufo me lo chobu truma. Safin le mitit apostle le gufe? Omar, what? Tanakh le nezida dema. Leke kezai pechte achilas pras.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
So what we said yesterday was that the Mishnah, which says that you can be mitame, obviously implies you can be mitame chulin with yadayim that are shniyos, because we weren't able to prove that there's such a thing as yadayim tefilas regabe chulin, has got to be talking about chulin shanaso altairas hakedesh. Because of that, it cannot be going according to Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua said that the only case that he would come up with in which you could have a shlishi of chulin was chulin shanaso ateres truma, and therefore the Mishnah would not make sense aliva the Rabbi Yoshua. Why? Because there's no way to say that a Mishnah that's talking about tumas basar would be a din of chulin shanaso ateres truma. Since the whole halacha of shenasu al tairas anything is based on someone who wants to be machmir out of fear of perhaps ruining something else, as I say, a kohen is going to eat, he'll be eating his chulin betuma, he's worried that he'll end up being nikshal with his truma. So he wants to keep his chulin also as if it were truma. And even if he's a kohen, he wants to do the same for kodesh, but he certainly is not going to eat meat as if that meat is truma, because meat can never be truma. He's not going to get mixed up because he eats meat betuma to eat peres of truma, betuma, and therefore there is no such halacha of chulin shenasu altaris truma on meat. Memela, our Mishnah can't be going aliva the Rabbi Yeshua. We'd have to be going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that there's such a thing as chulin shenasu Altairas HaKedesh. And even though you could say, well, but the Mishnah says Chaya, there's no Chaya meat in Kedesh. But basically, when you're eating meat, you're not aware of the animal that you're eating. And it's generic meat. So, Mamela, even if it were Chaya meat, you'd be eating venison, that already would be shayach to say Chulin Shanasu Altairas HaKedesh. And that's what we got up to yesterday. Today we're holding on Daf Lamed Daled Omed Aleph, five lines down. Omar Ula. So Ula Tainad Chavraya Amrin Bechulin Shinazu Altaras HaKedesh Vedaloka Rabbi Yoshua. You know, for some reason my friends insist that we're talking about Chulin Shinazu Altaras HaKedesh and therefore it cannot be going like Rabbi Yoshua. And I say, why can't it be going like Rabbi Yoshua? Where did Rabbi Yoshua ever say there's no such thing as Chulin Shinazu Altaras HaKedesh? Ana mina Rabbi Yoshua hi v'lomi boikoma. Rabbi Yoshua never meant to say there's no such thing as chulin shenasu altaris hakedesh. Rabbi Yoshua was coming to be machmir, saying that there is even a chumra of chulin shenasu altaris truma. That doesn't mean that he wouldn't hold of chulin shenasu altaris hakedesh. You were assuming that there's a limit to how much you can be machmir on something and say that it makes sense within some reality. So you were thinking that the meaning over here was to pretend that your chulin is truma is acceptable. But to pretend that your chulin is kodesh is simply batla daita. It's too insane. That's not true. You could certainly be machmir on your chulin shabbos v'tarsakos. As a matter of fact, there's a greater havamina to say that that would be meaningful, because when it comes to kodesh, people want very much to be machmir. But when it comes to truma, say, oh, come on, I mean, look, you know, to make your chulin like truma, truma is not that kosher, but chomer and it's dinim of truma that you have to worry about your chulin. So it comes along, Rabbi Yeshua would say, no, even chulin shenazot arz hakodesh. But, truma, I mean, but certainly, lo mi boy chulin shenazot arz hakodesh dechamire. Not only is chulin shenazot arz hakodesh, that's more chomer, and over there, eat behu shlishi, Elafil kun shenazo ataras truma nami it behu shlishi. The chiddush that he's coming to say is that there does exist a shlishi, as he says over here, okal sheni. Shlishi. Our president is very active today, up and down those stairs. Don't hold your chest like that. You're getting me worried. Just a bottle of water. Thank you. So, certainly, there is also a shlishi, because a sheni can be a shlishi for kodesh, even if it started out as a chulin shenazot arz truma. Now, when Ula said the chavrei amrim, my dear friends suggest, who are those dear friends? I mean, he certainly cannot be referring over here to Rebbe Lazar, right? We said, Omer Rebbe Lazar, Omer Rebbe Osha, Halka B'chol Mishanasu, Al Taras HaKadosh, Elok Rebbe Yeshua, because he would never have called his Rebbe his friend. And what's that? Chavraya? That doesn't make sense. We find Ula quoting Rebbe Lazar all over the place as his Rebbe. So he apparently was referring to someone who bedafka, the reason he didn't want to say Rebbe Lazar. He could have said, my Rebbe was the one who said, why does he say Chavraya Amrim? The Tosfos Tanya is, the Gemara added to what Rebbe Elazar said. Rebbe Elazar before only said, B'chulin shenazot ataras hakodesh askinan. The Gemara completed, well, and of course that would mean that it was the Lok Rebbe Yeshua, but it's not Rebbe Elazar himself said the Lok Rebbe Yeshua, not to be confused with Rebbe Eliezer, who was arguing with Rebbe Yeshua. So we want to know, who was Ula referring to when he was convinced that somebody who called, and we just saw him in the Gemara, we just don't know who he is. Someone has made the assumption that Rabbi Yeshua, when he said chulin shenazot ataras truma, meant that the din of tuma is limited to chulin shenazot ataras truma, and there's no such thing as chulin shenazot ataras hakodesh. Who are those chavraya? He says the Gemara, well, we could trace it. It's Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Diomer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan. Maya Hadre Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Lahadadi. What do you think that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua said to one another? Now let's remember that we have a rather strange machlokas, which we had yesterday. And let's take a look at it again to make sure we remember it. On the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Titania. Eight lines up there. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon Urishon. Someone who eats an ochel rishon, he becomes a rishon. If he eats a sheni, he becomes a sheni. If he eats a shlishi, he becomes a shlishi. That's pretty easy to remember. Rabbi Yeshua is very confusing. He says, if you eat an ochel rishon or an ochel sheni, you become a sheni. And if you eat a shlishi, you also become a sheni. Of course, look kodesh, because there's no sheni for truma. And this is what the chulin shenazot ataras truma. Now that's pretty strange. I mean, at first he's saying, yeah, you eat, you go down one. If you eat ochel rishon, you become a sheni. If you eat an ochel sheni, then you stay the same. If you eat an ochel shlishi, then you go up to a sheni. What is the logic in this? So what was the discussion between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua? I said like this, Omer lo Rebbe Eliezer lo Rebbe Yeshua, the way I understand it from Rebbe Yochanan was that what they said to each other, Rebbe Eliezer time it to Rebbe Yeshua, look, I mean, matzino ochel chamur min ha-ochel. We find that an ochel, somebody who's eating, is more chamur than the ochel that he's eating. Right? Ochel is to eat. Verb ochel is the noun. from this point on, we'll change it in order so that you shouldn't be confused that somebody did it in Gemara itself to Ma'achal instead of Ochel. That way you can remember that the Ochel is the eater, the Ma'achal is the food. But, I mean, there's no need to have to do that. So, Matzino Ochel, Chamur Minal Ochel. The Ilu Nivlat Of Tahor Bachutz Lo Metame. Take a Nivlat Of Tahor. You touch it. It's not Metame you. You eat it, and then it's Metame you. So what does that show? That the food itself is not as tame as the act of eating. Correct? So, Ilu Ochla, Metame Vgadima Beta Blia. Given that that's the case, Anu Heich Lo Naaseh Ochel Kimachal, shall we not at least make the eater as a chomur, as the food? And therefore, it makes more sense that what I'm saying is that whatever it is, you eat what you ate, that's what you become. Rabbi Yeshua said, well, first of all, your deed for Nivlas of Tahor is ridiculous. Nivlas of Tahor is completely abnormal. Whoever heard of something tame that's not metame at all in touching it? All other things are metame by touching, but they're not metame if they're inside your body, because it's too much space to store. And over here, the Torah reverses it. So the klal is that reversals are never taken as an indications of normative halacha, because they're called chidushim. Chidushim are not used as models for anything. So forget about that. If you want to think about this correctly, think about it the way I think about it. Matzino shema'achal chomor mena'ochal. In a normative sense, the food is more chomor than someone who eats the food. Because a ma'achal will be makabel tuma from a kebetza of ochal. Masha'inkin, for someone who eats something to be a tame over here, he would have to eat a chatzi pras. As we said before, the din of tumat gviyah is only be'achilat chatzi pras. In which case, I ask you, Rebbe Eliezer, how in the world do you intend, heich na'aseh ochel kema'achal? How would you then taina that somebody who eats something should be as chomer as the food that he eats, when we see clearly that that's not the case? And therefore, your halacha, that the risha, risha, shani, shani, shlishi, shlishi, that doesn't make sense. You should always be going down one. So, Rebbe Eliezer, how does he respond to that? He says two things. First of all, your diet about chumra and kula from the amounts is absurd. Amounts have nothing to do with chumra and kula. Amounts have to do with the given to be or not to be. Is it a shear or is it not a shear? That has nothing to do with how kala it is and how chumra it is. Chumra is given that there is something here. That's something being defined by whatever the shear is of that something. Then, what is the halakha of that thing? So don't give me shiurim. Whether it's a kezayas, whether it's a kebetza, whether it's a chatzi pras, that's a non-starter. Forget about that. Besides, I don't understand what you're talking about. You say, we can never make, it's ridiculous to make at the same level that the food and the eater should be on the same level. And then not only do you say that we make them the same level, if you eat a sheni, you become a sheni, but if it's shlishi, you become a sheni, and you're yelling at me that I even want to make them the same. What's, I don't understand you. I understand if you would have limited your statement to saying that ochel, ochel, rishon, sheni. Fine, okay, ochel, ochel, rishon, sheni. Fine, okay, you explain yourself. I disagree with why you say it, but I mean, to be so totally inconsistent, the dvorecha, let's even accept what you're saying. That we can use shiurim as an indication of chumran kula. Fine. So shatomel, rishon sheni, yafeatomel. Okay. So one part, one third of your statement makes sense. You're saying that the rishon becomes a sheni. Very nice. Maybe you'll explain to me how a sheni becomes a sheni l'shitatcha when you're yelling at me that I have a chutzpah to go make it also like the ma'achal. Oh, marlo. Well, that's very poshut. Matzinu shasheni, ose sheni ayinei mashkin. Look. Normally, when a person would be matame, another foodstuff, uses something shiny, that shiny comes in touch with wet food. Problem is that the liquid on that wet food is going to be a rishon, because that's the din of mashkim. Mashkim always become a rishon, no matter what they touch. And the reason for that is the gezera, because we have mashkim that are by definition, tameim, like mashke azov, and so on. So mashkim, which are easily matame, we're machmer on. And now that other apple that is wet is going to be a macabre tumor from the water that's on it. Which means that if a sheni touches a wet apple, So what apple that it touches is a sheni. In which case, there is reason, therefore, to say that we should apply the same halacha over here. Since there's such a thing as a sheni making a sheni, so when it comes to the ochel, we will have the same concerns. And remember that those concerns actually revolve around, to some extent, the problem of a person eating. If a person is eating truma, or he's eating rather chulin, he's eating something that would be tamei in terms of the chulin, and he takes a drink of truma, he's going to be metamei that truma. And indeed, that drink of truma, he's going to take a cup of wine now, that cup of wine is going to be mekabel truma from the food that's in his mouth before he swallows it. So we do have really a reason to worry about the way in which the truma will actually be conveyed from one person to the next.
A coin has food in his mouth will make the truma. Who
is it, Tumah? Is eating chulin. He's not being makbid on Tumah, because he doesn't have to be makbid. And he takes a drink of his wine without realizing he hasn't swallowed completely. So he'll be matami now, the wine in his mouth. He'll be over in his diraisa. He'll be matami as Tumah. So Mamela, since we find that Shani makes a Shani, so I find that over here, the ochel is the same as the macha. Okay. All right, fine. That you can explain to me, aren't mashkim even a rishon? I mean, Rashi learns this means, and shouldn't we make this person then a rishon? I mean, if you're saying that we're always going to see what it is that a machal could do to a machal, maybe be metami the ochel the same way. So you should say that's not. I mean, it says beferish kola posel betruma metami mashkin liyot techila. Anything which causes psul on truma, what level is that, gentlemen? What level of truma causes psul by truma? Thank you. A sheni is pasul truma, because a sheni cannot make a shlishi by truma, since a shlishi, in a literal sense, I mean, tome shlishi, you can make a shlishi in a pasul sense that cannot be metami something else. Right? So anything that will pasul truma, meaning any sheni, where the Rabbanan created a din of sheni, will also be betame mashkim liyot fila, will turn any liquids that come in touch with it into a rishon, also a Rabbanan gezeira over here, except for one case, and that's chutz mitful yom. The case of a tful yom is a strange situation where Be'etzem, the Tful Yom, was Tomei himself, not as a Sheni. Maybe a bit of a Hava Tumah. But he went to the mikveh. So now he has a level of Tumah which has been weakened. That's not the same as taking Tumah on a lower Darga. You see what I'm saying? In other words, if you weaken an Hava Tumah, it doesn't mean it's the equivalent of a Rishon Tumah, let's say. By going to the mikveh, you've taken off the tumah. The problem is the Torah says it's in a process of disappearing until the night. So you have a weakened tumah, but not a lower tumah. So now the question is, how does a weakened higher tumah relate to a lower tumah?
A lower full strength tumah.
So here the halacha is that the tfuyom is indeed metame in most ways, with the same power that a sheni would be metame, except that he will not turn mashkin into a rishon. So chutz mitful yom. So why wouldn't we consider that also? I mean, why a sheni only a sheni? Why not a sheni a rishon? And then I got really a stumper for you. A shlishi a sheni? Go explain that one a minute. How does a shlishi become a sheni? It's a shlishi sheni lama. Omar lo, and he answered him, and here's the important thing. Did you pay attention to what I said, or did you not? Afani lo amarti, ela betruma. Didn't I make it very clear that the case that I'm talking about is chulin shenaso al tairis truma? Well, do you realize that truma taharata tuma yetzal hakodesh? When it comes to kosher, what's the din of truma? Truma is tame. Vis-a-vis kodesh. So let's say you have the most machmir kohen in the world. Very, very careful to eat everything with absolute, complete shmira against tuma. But he never has kodesh around. He only has truma around. All of his shmira is only for truma. Comes along now someone with some kodesh and comes in touch with something in his house and it becomes tummy. Why? I mean, this guy is like as tar as you could possibly be. He's tar for truma. He's not tar for kodesh. So this is an idea called chaymer v'kodesh. These are chumras that were created in the Rabbana that a shmira for truma doesn't help vis-a-vis kodesh. So why didn't you pay attention when I said that the only case I'm talking about is b'chulin shenazu al-tairas truma. I never said it's shenazu al-tairas kodesh, right? The reason that that should have answered you is because you should have realized, oh, since Lemaisa, he would only be talking about such a case, since that's the only case he holds, that there's applies a din of shlishi by chulin, it must be that the reason that a shlishi will make a sheni is because truma is always viewed as a step lower legabe kodesh. So legabe kodesh will pretend that it's really already, that the guy was really much more tamei. So therefore, legabe kodesh, it'll be as if he's a sheni. Even though really he only had a shlishi. Yeah, you're 100% right. But you weren't paying attention to what I said. Now, if Lemaisa, Rabbi Yoshua would have held all along, and here's the knesh, the way Rashi understands the way from the Gemara. If Lemaisa, Rabbi Yoshua held all along that there is such a thing as Chulin Shenazu Al-Tairas HaKadosh, and therefore, when he's saying the case over here, and I'm talking about Chulin Shenazu Al-Tairas Truma, then anyone in his right mind would have heard him saying a reason. Sheni, shlishi, be'ezah chulin, chulin shenazu al-tairas truma. Why? Because truma is tamei for kodesh. That's why I'm insisting that it's only for tairas truma. If you don't hear that in the words of Rabbi Yoshua, what do you hear? What you hear is, well, there does exist such a thing as chulin shlishi, but chulin shenazu al-tairas truma. That's what you hear, which is what we heard originally. Then when you ask him, so why does a shlishi become a sheni? He'll answer you, well, it happens to be that the only chulin we could be talking about would be chulin shenazu al-tairas truma. So mamela works out very good, because truma is tamei legabe kodesh. But if the only reason he said we're talking about chulin shenazu al-tairas truma was to address that issue, you'd have to be pretty dumb to ask the question. He just explained it to you. And, of course, I'm limiting my case to chulin shenazu al-tairas truma. So we see that the way now that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was understanding Rabbi Yoshua was that he limited the case to chulin shenazu al-tairas truma because there isn't any other chulin that'll be makabel shlishi. And then when asked why it works, he says, well, it works perfectly. Because lamaisa, that's the only case, and therefore that case is going to be viewed as more chomer legabe kodesh. So who are the chavraya that the Gemara stuck in before the lo aliba the Rabbi Yoshua? And that the case in our mission would have to be going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it's chulin shenazu al-tairas hakodesh, and Rabbi Yoshua wouldn't have agreed that there's a case of chulin shenazu al-tairas hakodesh. That is this Rabbi Bar Bar Chana and Rabbi Yochanan. Cute, nice, beautiful, sweet, lovely, simple, clear, like mud.
Like verbal macrame.
Would you like a brief review of the various shitot without going into the how it fits into the Mishnah? It might help. Okay, we started off with a problem that the Mishnah implies that there's such a thing as tuma from yadayim misoavot, which are a sheni bituma, to chulin, and yet we happen to know that chulin is not makabel tuma from a sheni at all. We also proved in the Mishnah that it's talking about touching. And we're talking, therefore, about whether you would be able to be matami something with your hands. Not whether eating it is a problem, but touching it would be matami it. So how could there be such a case? So we had to throw out the Meiser, because Meiser was only a problem in eating. The Meiser is the same as chulin legabe touching. We threw out the other explanation. Maybe it's talking about you were a Rishon. No. We said, well, there's no such thing as a Rishon. Your body can't be a Rishon. Either your hands are tame for chulin anyway. Either your hands are tamei because of the gzeirut rabbanan and they're a sheni, or you're really tamei, which is what we're talking about. We're talking about yadayim so avot. There's nothing in between. There's no yadayim that would be a rishayin, and the rest of your body is tar, which the Mishnah is talking about, where you're tar, but your yadayim are tameis. So what's the case? So therefore, we need to come up a case where uniquely the chulin will be makabel tuma. Now, we cannot say that that case is where the chulin was being prepared with the level of kedusha of truma. Why? Because we're talking about chulin meat, and there's no such animal as chulin, as truma meat, because you don't take off truma from meat. So that's not going to help us. The only place where chulin might be more chamur than regular chulin is where you're treating the chulin as if it's kodesh. And that would explain the Mishnah. If there's such a thing that halakhic chulin will actually be makabel tuma, as if it's kodesh to some extent, just because you've decided it's kodesh, then that would be the case of the Mishnah. Now what happened is that the Gemara somehow stuck in the words, well, there could be such a case, but it would only work out according to Rabbi Eliezer, and not according to Rabbi Yoshua. And that is what today's daf so far has revolved around. Why do we say that? Now, it happens to be that Rabbi Yoshua, in his statement, did say that we are referring, in general, to their machlokas. They weren't talking about our Mishnah. They have a general machlokas about what the din of psul gevia is. Psul gevia is a concept in which someone who eats something can become effectively tamei vis-a-vis the achila of tyres on different levels. So this psul gevia, what exactly is it? Machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, whatever you eat is what you become, assuming you eat a chatzipras. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, it's a little bit strange, because he says, well, if you eat a rishon, you go down one. If you eat a sheni, you stay the same, you're a sheni. And if you eat a shlishi, you go up one, and become a sheni. So all three cases, basically, no matter what you eat, you always end up as a sheni, if anything. I mean, you might not end up as anything, because he's only saying the case in chulin shenasu ataris truma, he says. Now, there's two ways of understanding his statement, chulin shenasu ataris truma. Three ways, actually, of understanding the statement. One way is, you know where this case would be in a case where chulin was not so ataris truma, because be darned if you could find another case. And then we would say, well, what about chulin shenasu so ataris akedah? Apparently he doesn't believe that there's such a thing, because the guy's fantasizing. You forget it. I mean, well, how can you have your chulin being kodesh? That's ridiculous. Chulin being truma, all right, we can accept. If that's what he meant to say, Rabbi Yoshua, then he essentially was telling us there ain't no such animal as chulin shenasu ataris akedah. And that would preclude our Mishnah from being Rabbi Yeshua, because our Mishnah was forced to be ataris akedah since it was talking about meat. So it couldn't possibly be ataris truma, because there's no truma that's meat. That's one way of understanding Rabbi Yeshua. The other way of understanding Rabbi Yeshua is that he was saying, the way Ula understood it, and you know, even chulin shenasu ataris truma would be considered to accept tuma from a sheni. Certainly, chulin shenasu ataris hakodesh, in which case, the Mishnah would be perfectly valid according to Rabbi Yoshua, because for sure Rabbi Yoshua is willing to accept that there exists an entity called chulin shenasu ataris hakodesh. He only wanted to let you know that there also exists chulin shenasu ataris tuma. The third way of understanding Rabbi Yoshua is that Rabbi Yoshua was saying, look, of course there may be such a thing as chulin shenasu ataris hakodesh. The point is that if somebody eats a sheni, he becomes a shlishi only because the case would have been where he eats the chulin that's nasu ataris truma. And therefore we said, well, I mean, if it's only a sheni, a shlishi, how the heck does he become a sheni? I'll tell you how. Because since what he's going to be touching now, reading now, is kodesh, truma vis-a-vis kodesh is always much worse than it would be vis-a-vis truma itself. So when we say he ate a shlishi, what shlishi did he eat? A shlishi of chulin shenasu ataris truma. And now what does he want to touch and what does he want to be involved in? Kodesh! Oh, for kodesh! That truma might have been tamei. So you call it a shlishi, but as far as kodesh is concerned, it's a sheni. And as I've already explained, oh, chaloka sheni sheni. So there's three ways of looking at Rabbi Yoshua. Depending on how we look at him, Either we could say our Mishnah that holds of Kul and Shanatzu Altaras HaKodesh is also going according to Rabbi Yoshua, or it's not going to leave it to Rabbi Yoshua. The way that Rabba Bar Bar Chana explained the argument between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, the conversation between them, it was clear that he held that Rabbi Yoshua had mentioned Chul and Shanasu Altaras Truma because there was nothing else. There was only Chul and Shanasu Altaras Truma. And that's why he didn't catch that the statement would have meant, and that's why Ashlishi meant Ashlishi. He didn't take it to be an explanation of a reason. He took it just to be a statement of fact. That the only possible case is a Chul and Shanasu Altaras Truma. And that's why, says Ula, he was the one. He is the culprit of suggesting that the Mishnah can't work out. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yoshua. The way I understand, Rabbi Yoshua works out just fine. And now we shall enjoy the gift of pure mountain water. Yes, indeed. Thank you, our president. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shekhov Nidin Boron.
Amen.
All right, so now I hope that that is finally very clear. Admittedly, there are a lot of new terms here that you may not be familiar with, but there's nothing complicated here. It's just a question of getting used to the ideas. No, so you know, Tina, that's what he said. You thought. I'm telling you that that's, I'm limiting it to that case. Om Rabbi Zeir, Om Rabbi Asi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Om Rabbi Yanai. Ha'olchal shlishi shalchulin, shenasu ataras ha-kadesh. Nasegufa sheni la-kadesh. Now this is very strange. Here Rabbi Yochanan, mind you, Rabbi Barbachana had quoted Rabbi Yochanan about the conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua just a few minutes ago, correct? And yet here comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says that if you eat shlishi of chulin, not chulin shenasu ataras truma, but chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh, then what happens is you become a sheni. Now that's crazy. Because the conversation we just finished was, the Rabbi Yoshua said, well, I never would have said you become a sheni if you would have eaten chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh. I was only talking about chulin shenasu ataras truma. Because truma is vis-a-vis kodesh worse than it appears to be. And here comes along that same Rav Yochum's quoted by Rabbi Bar Bachana, and he says, well, no, even if it would be chulin shenasu ataras hakodesh, a shlishi would become a sheni. So he said, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Zeir asked Rabbi Asi, I don't get it. And the Braita says, shlishi is sheni l'kodesh, and ein sheni l'truma, b'chulin shenasu ataras truma. Now, I read that as saying, Dafka Altaras HaTruma. Altaras HaTruma in, but Altaras HaKodesh lo. How do you explain Rabbi Yeshua's own words? Omar Lay, so he said to him, no, that doesn't mean that that's the reason and that's the only case, please. Lo mi baik, Omar. All he was saying is, don't make the mistake of thinking that there's only Kulin Shenasu Altaras HaKodesh that's a shlishi. Even Chulin Shenasu Altaras Truma can be a shlishi. What? But the whole conversation that Rabbi Barbar Chana just quoted, where Rabbi Eliezer was shouting at Rabbi Yoshua, how did a shlishi become a sheni? And Rabbi Yoshua justified it by saying, Afani lo amarti! Well, I only said it in the case where it was Chulin Shenasu Altaras Truma, and now you're throwing that out, and it was you that they quoted, Rabbi Barbar Chana om Rabbi Yochanan. And now here comes Rabbi Yochanan, and he's saying, no, he didn't mean Afani lo amarti. No such conversation. Never heard of it. Va Afani lo amarti ala betruma, unquote. Omar, didn't he just say that? Well, yeah, he did. But, you know, them's the breaks. I mean, Rabbi Barbachana heard it one way, and Rabbi Zera Maravasi heard it another way in Rabbi Yochanan. But they're Amaroin, you know, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. They are indeed. Somebody is misquoting Rabbi Yochanan over here. I mean, either Rabbi Yochanan did give over this punitive conversation between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, or he didn't, and he actually held that there was lav dafka chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, rather altaras truma. Omar Ula, ha'ochel shlishi shechulin shenasu altaras truma, Nipsal gufo milechol b'truma. I just want you to know something. That if you eat a shlishi of chulin shenazal taras truma, which is Rabbi Yeshua's case, everybody certainly agrees that there is such a case. And then Rabbi Yochanan said, there's even another case of chulin shenazal taras akedah shalabinovish pi. But this case is the case Rabbi Yeshua was speaking about, correct? Okay. Somebody eats a shlishi of chulin shenazal taras akedah. I want you to know that he's not allowed to eat truma. And his psul of a guf is psul gviya. And the psul gviya gives you always one level more. In other words, if a sheni cannot touch truma without passing it, someone who ate sheni and became a shlishi would not be allowed to eat truma. So the psul gviya, we treat a shlishi as if he's tamei legabe truma, but only legabe eating. We already saw before that there's a difference between eating, where we're more machmir, and touching, correct? So this din of eating, I want you to know that he certainly is a shlishi. Understand? Of course he's certainly a shlishi. My kamashwan. I read that in Rabbi Yeshua. What did Rabbi Yeshua say? Tanina. What did it say in the Braisa? Shlishi, someone who eats a shlishi, becomes a sheni lekodesh. So he's not allowed to touch kodesh. But he doesn't become a sheni letruma. Okay, so he is allowed to touch truma. And the case is b'chulin shenazal taras truma pi. Now, can I not, I'm intelligent enough to read the words of Rabbi Yeshua and make the following simple deal. All he said was, ein sheni letruma. Why is he ein sheni letruma? He should have said, ain't no pasul letruma, ain't no tame letruma, ain't sheni letruma means, sheni letruma, he's not a sheni, but he is a shlishi. And if he is a shlishi, then a psul guf can be a shlishi. So psul guf he has as a shlishi, and as a shlishi he's not allowed to eat truma. So why do I need this mimer of Ula to tell me what any 2-year-old can read? Well, maybe not any 2-year-old. Answers the Gemara, because imiyahi, if you would have told me that case, and Ula wouldn't have pointed out what it meant, I would have said, not that he didn't mean to say that you're not a sheni, but you are a shlishi. Lo sheni avi, velo shlishi avi. There's no such thing as a shlishi when it comes to this halacha of eat. There's no such thing as a shlishi making a shlishi at all. You eat. The only thing that Rabbi Yeshua held is you always go down one level. If you eat shlishi, how did you become a shlishi, for God's sake? The only thing that he was saying is that in the case of truma, you can become a sheni. But if you're not a sheni, then you're nothing. You're not a shlishi either. That's how I would have read it. Why does he say lo sheni? That's because I did. I'm a sheni, but kodesh omer nami ain sheni betruma. That's what he's saying is, even though I make him a sheni, but kodesh legabi negia, but you should know he's not a sheni for truma. Maybe he's nothing for truma. Kamash malan now ula, to say no, he means literally he's not a sheni, but he does have a psul gviya that gives him a din of a shlishi. Eisve rebamnuna leula. Rebamnuna asked ula, if that's what you believe, how do you understand this Mishnah? Harishon shebechulin tamei umitamei. If you now have ochol rishon of chulin, that ochol is tamei. And therefore, if it touches something else, that thing will become tamei, not just possible. So now that second thing, the sheni now, also is tamei. In one sense, it's a tamei, that it can passel now make truma a shlishi. So it's tamei umitamei. Hasheni, however, the sheni bechulin can only posel. It cannot be metamei because it doesn't give off enough tuma for the thing that touches it to give off tuma. So now, if it touches now the truma, it will passel that truma and will not be metamei that truma. Vahashlishi. But if you've got chulin that's a shlishi, nechal b'nezida dema, you would be able to eat your morning's oatmeal with that and still go ahead and use your sugar that was pure truma. and your cinnamon, that was pure truma. That's dema. Dema means it's mixed with truma. So you could use that coolant and put truma into it as far as we're concerned. And eat the whole mess together. And you say, oh, but it's shlishi. So what if it's shlishi? Now, according to what you just said, Sir Ula, what do you mean, who cares if it's shlishi? I care! Because Ian mit nivsa gufa milafo betruma. Explain to me what's going on over here. This guy is going to be eating his morning's oatmeal with a shlishi b'chulin. And according to you, a shlishi b'chulin makes him a psul gviya with a shlishi for truma. And what is it that he's eating that we said so cavalierly, go right ahead and eat yourself your truma-flavored oatmeal? Now, could you tell me, please, how in the world we are telling a guy who's going to be eating truma, he's eating chul and it's going to be matame in, and we're telling him, oh, and use your truma flavorings. There's no problem in that. But he's eating now cereal that's going to turn him into tame for truma. Now, Behakriya, you'll say, well, but there's no such thing. You'll say, but there's no such thing as a tuma of shlishi on chulin. Ah, but this guy was going to be eating his oatmeal with truma. So obviously he took care of this chulin as if it was truma. So it was chulin shenasu atiris truma. So here we've got a case of chulin shenasu atiris truma, which we are feeding happily to a Kohen, who is then going to be going ahead and eating truma. Now, can you explain that to me according to you, Ula? If it wouldn't be for you, I would have said, so the guy's going to be eating shlishi. There's no such thing as becoming tame by eating shlishi. You're the one who said that if he eats shlishi, even though it's chulin, he does become a shlishi for truma, so we're feeding a Kohen something that's going to turn him into tuma for truma, and not only that, he's going to be eating it with his cereal. Man, my life big deal. Anachlan nezida dema, the leka kezayi b'chdei achilas pras. Nezida dema, I mean, come on, what do you have over there? You got a big bowl of oatmeal. Man, how much sugar can you possibly put into your oatmeal? So you're not going to have a kezayi b'chdei achilas pras, right? Well, this is yeshivish oatmeal. I mean, it's unedible unless you... But, I mean, normally, within the amount of time that it would take to eat a pras, you don't eat a kezayis. And the minimum shear of the Isser Achila is always a shear of Achila's pras. That we learn out from the din of Shohev, by Samanuga, that he has to be there long enough to eat a loaf of bread. So that's considered to be the shear of Shehiyah, which is within the Torah calls Achila. Anything over that, stretch over more time than that, is not Achila. So therefore, there's not going to be an Achila over here, B'klal. Because you can't eat that much truma. That's Rashi's pshat, that Rashi was Makabel. Rashi says, I don't like that pshat one bit. First of all, so what? So there's not a shear. So therefore, we feed the guy something, he's going to eat that, it's going to be less than a shear. Tosfos says, that doesn't bother me so much. The whole thing, after all, is all chiddush d'rabbanan, to make this tumas gviya, turn a guy into a shlishi. And d'rabbanan aren't makpid on things that don't have a shema. That's okay. Tosfos answers up that problem. Rashi says, and besides, I mean, the Gemara's kash didn't seem to be, what, we give this guy something that's going to make him tamei, meaning in the context of this particular bowl of cereal? But we're saying, why would we tell a Kohen to eat something that's going to be matamei as guf? Doesn't he have to be careful for truma? We're going to make it like it's not a problem. How do you understand that? So therefore, Rashi says, the point over here is, since it's less than a desayas bechteach, he lets pras, you had no reason to assume that it was chulin shenasu ataras truma in the first place. Because the only reason that you called it chulin shenasu ataras truma was because you figured, okay, there's sugar in here and the sugar is truma, so he'd have to be careful. But if there's no desayas bechteach, he lets pras, you didn't have to eat it, l'chatchila, as the kedushas truma. Because there's no achila over here. Therefore, you didn't have to keep in the first place your chulin altar sakedesh. In which case, when it says shlishi b'chulin, what it's saying is that which you would have called Shlishi, had it been capable of accepting Shlishi, is nothing at all, because it's in the Nazira Dema. What would make it, after all, Chulin Shanasu Altaris Turma? Nothing. So there's no such thing as a Shlishi. But if it really were a Shlishi, I mean, if you had eaten now something that was Nasa, indeed was Nasa Altaris Turma, because you made it Nasa Altaris Turma, then Enochinami, you would not have been allowed to eat Truma. Or, you know, certainly we wouldn't have given it to you if it was a Kashir of Truma.